This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks for listening. This is NFC and AFC Championship Weekend. The Broncos hosting the Patriots on Sunday afternoon. The Seahawks hosting the 49ers. Lots of excitement leading up to that, and the Super Bowl, of course, coming up in 2 weeks. But that's not the only NFL news that's been going on in the last few days. This week, a judge rejected the $765 million settlement that the league had made with 4,500 former players over concussions. And we've talked quite a bit about the concussion crisis in the NFL on this show over the course of the last 6 months, ever since this came down right just before the season started. But now a judge has said, essentially, you know what? That's probably not enough money to cover everybody. So let's bring in Lester Munson, who's a senior writer and legal analyst for ESPN.com, who has been covering this story and can help us with some analysis. Lester, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you, Paul.
When the judge says that's not enough money, does that mean that some of the players who were covered under the agreement complained?
Yes, I believe quite a number of players have complained, but that was not the reason for the judge to refuse to approve the settlement. She looked at the settlement as described by the lawyers who are proposing the settlement. She went through the numbers in her own way, just kind of a quick sort of windshield appraisal of the numbers, and it appeared to her, as it has appeared to many, that there was not enough money for the players who have been injured and who have suffered because of concussions in the National Football League. She recognized that there are 4,500 players who have filed lawsuits. There are another 15,000 at least who are out there who may be hurt and who may ultimately make claims, and she expressed her concern for the fact that these players who have not filed their cases, there may not be anything left for them after this settlement is completed. It was a major surprise to the lawyers who agreed to this settlement, and they are now scrambling to try to give the judge additional information that will persuade her that there is enough money.
This was a surprise to lawyers on both sides, right?
Yes, it was. The NFL's lawyers and the lawyers who were the so-called executive committee who were supposed to be representing all the players. What has happened here is there are now basically three groups of lawyers. There are the player lawyers who want to settle, and then there's a growing group of player lawyers who do not approve of the settlement. And then lurking in the background, we have the National Football League lawyers who are the ones who put $765 million on the table. So the settlement is in danger now of falling apart.
What impact do you think has been has happened here? What impact do you think there's been from people like Jim McMahon, Super Bowl winning quarterback, and Tony Dorsett, and other former players coming out and saying, you know, I'm suffering from dementia now, and there being a very public face of this. Plus, we, of course, had the stories of Junior Seau and others who killed themselves from what many consider to be concussion-related diseases later in life. The public relations aspect of this seems to have swung against the NFL. Did that have an impact on what happened here?
It may have, and certainly what has happened here has an adverse PR impact on the NFL. The judge's refusal to approve the settlement makes the NFL look rather stingy in its offer to these retired players. There is no doubt that the dramatic cases of Junior Seau and Dave Duerson and Ray Easterling, the suicide cases, they are the marquee cases. And under this settlement, those families will do reasonably well. It's the people who are have the beginning stage of dementia or a moderate or more severe case of dementia. It is those players who may not do real well under this settlement. The way it works, there are deductions made for age, for a number of seasons and so on. And when you're a player who is having trouble getting through the day, like Jim McMahon, or another player who is not quite as famous, you're not going to collect as much money as you think you should be collecting, and you're certainly not going to collect as much money as the suicide cases or the Parkinson's cases or some of the others. So that's one of the reasons that a large number of players are moving away from the settlement and toward the direction of opting out and preserving their individual lawsuits.
What does this mean for current players? I know that the NFL has tried to be more conscientious about this. They call penalties for more helmet-to-helmet hits on defenseless receivers and on running backs, etc. But are the current players better protected?
They will be better protected, and that's because there will be neurological examinations that will establish a baseline of normal. Once you've had that examination, and then you come back a year or 2 years or 5 years later and you conduct the same examination, then you get an early look at what might be developing dementia or some other concussion-related neurological problems. So establishing the baseline for each player, which is part of this, that is definitely a benefit for current players and players who will soon be retiring. It's something that should have been done 40 years ago. This is not new science, but somehow neither the players nor the owners really paid any attention to concussions and the problems until the last few years.
Yeah, well, I think that goes back to a bigger problem, which is that the NFL acted towards concussions the way tobacco companies acted towards cancer, which is saying, hey, you know what? These people may be getting sick, but it's not our fault. They actually had paid scientists to say that concussions were not connected to what was happening to the people who were getting dementia later on. And that, I think, is what led to the settlement, and certainly the PBS documentary last fall, League of Denial, and the book The King of Sports by Greg Easterbrook, and the book by the Fanarawada brothers, all contributed to that. All of them, of course, do have ESPN connections, right?
Absolutely, yes. I work with the Fanaroos on a daily basis, and Easterbrook has done some work for us as well. And there seems to be very little doubt that the NFL manipulated and concealed information on concussions. What is interesting and what is becoming more and more unacceptable to players and their individual lawyers is the fact that no one, because of this settlement coming so early, no one has really been able to dig into NFL records to ascertain the nature and the extent of the duplicity that apparently was in place during these years.
All right, but let me go back to the current players for just a second, Lester, because if the former players can say, hey, the NFL covered it up and we didn't know the damage that could be done inside our heads, the current players probably can't say that anymore after all of these revelations have come out in the last year, can they?
Absolutely correct. No doubt about that. The current players, they would not be entitled to any kind of punitive damages because of misconduct by the NFL. They would be entitled to some sort of compensation for the injuries that are inevitable when you are a National Football League player. But no, the misconduct aspect of this will be concluded one way or the other, either with this settlement or with a series of trials from the players who opt out of the settlement.
I've only got about 30 seconds here, Lester. What happens now?
Now the settlement lawyers are going to try to convince the judge that she should approve this. I believe we will see more and more players opting out, and ultimately there may be so many who opt out that the NFL will say, okay, that's it, we're not going to settle, and we could be back to square one within the next couple of months.
And then instead of a class action suit, you've got all these individual suits out there, and that could take years.
That's correct. Yes, absolutely correct.
Lester Munson, senior writer and legal analyst for ESPN.com. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you, Paul.
The question of concussions in the NFL is going to continue to be a big issue for a long time. But that does not stop the league's popularity, as they will prove on Sunday afternoon and on the evening of two Sundays from now. I'm Paul Harris. This show's called America Weekend, on the air every Saturday and Sunday from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.